This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 251. This episode was pre-recorded. Can a comic collector of over 25 years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Set your responsometers. It's back to class for DC Robots 101. This is How I Got My Wife to Read Comics for Sunday, March 31st, 2013. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just a reminder, you can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can subscribe via iTunes where you can leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter @sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. We're taping this in advance.
Because I'm leaving commitment. You.
No. Just temporarily.
Just temporarily.
Now, the Metal Men were just reintroduced into the new DCU in Justice League number 18 in the form of Platinum. So I thought this would be a good time to go over the major robot characters in the DCU. We're going to skip the villains and stick with the heroes because there's a lot of robot villains, many of whom were just one-shots.
And don't the villain robots tend to, like, change more than the hero ones too? Like, this robot might get his insides put in something else.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
Okay.
Well, let's start with the Metal Men, whose first appearance was in Showcase number 37 in 1962, created by Robert Kaniger and Ross Andrew.
They're the same age as me.
Yeah. It was a last-minute fill-in to the Showcase title. You need to crank something out for this next issue because we don't have anything in the shooting. So they came up with this concept. And they're robots based on elements in the periodic table, created by Dr. Will Magnus and his ever-present pipe.
I wonder if he'll still have a pipe.
I assume he will.
I mean, it's not really politically correct to smoke anymore.
Well, also not politically correct to be a mad scientist either. So the members are Gold, who's the leader. Iron is a strong man. Lead is kind of slow. Mercury, who's always angry. Tin, who's very insecure. And Platinum, this female robot who's in love with Will Magnus. And they ran on responsometers, this magical device that allowed them to change their shapes at will and also gave them their personalities.
So a little bit like a brain.
Yeah. They got their own title from 1963 to 69 with a second run from 73 to 78. Unfortunately, the title was killed off in the DC implosion. And this was an event around 1978 where DC had just said, oh, we're doing the new DC explosion. Nothing can stop us now. And then there were a number of titles that did very badly, and they made a split second decision to cancel a bunch of them. And to the point where you can even sometimes find at conventions what's called the Canceled Comics Cavalcade, which is this black and white comic that DC put out that's like, here's these stories that we literally had ready to go that that never were sold. They made a lot of guest appearances throughout the DCU. There was a 1990s retcon miniseries where Magnus is transferred into a new robot called Viridium. In the 2000s, they were involved in Infinite Crisis. They added a new robot called Copper. And at one point, I love this, they were turned into the Death Metal Men.
Now, at one point in time, were they, like, supposedly their personalities had come from people that were...
That's in the 1990s retcon.
Okay.
Right. Now, I actually have the end of the 70s series of Metal Men. And I remember the final issue, how they basically destroy the Metal Men. Will Magnus goes insane and builds a plutonium robot.
Ooh.
That then threatens and apparently radiates Washington, D.C. The Metal Men sacrifice themselves to stop him.
But they save plutonium.
And it's like, and then in an aside, it's like, oh, and they deradiate Washington.
Yes. Now, they always save the responsometers whenever they're killed because they could rebuild them if they have the responsometer, right?
Right. And without the responsometer, they're just a pile of metal goop.
Right.
It's just metal. And supposedly, Barry Sonnenfeld has optioned the characters for a possible movie, which I think if anybody could make a Metal Men movie work, it would be Barry Sonnenfeld.
Hmm.
Let's go on to Red Tornado. First appearance was in JLA number 64 in 1968, created by Gardner Fox and Dick Dillon, actually based on a comedic Golden Age character, this old lady who wanted to be a hero, so she put on these long johns and put a pot on her head.
And didn't she appear then in
JSA.
JSA later?
Right.
Oh, okay.
The same character.
Ma
Hunkel.
Hunkel, okay.
And so this android is created by Tio Morrow, a classic JLA villain. His job was to infiltrate the JLA and destroy it, but he breaks free of his programming and becomes a hero. He can generate and direct cyclone force winds. At one point, he had a girlfriend, Kathy Sutton, and an orphan daughter, Treya. And he had this kind of mask thing where he looked like a human being, but of course, he's still a robot. He sacrificed himself a lot because he could always be rebuilt. So anytime it's like, we need someone to go run on a suicide mission, he'd be like, oh, I'll do it. You can just rebuild me. And at one point, he was the air elemental of the DCU because there was like an air elemental and a water and a fire. Firestorm was the fire elemental. And in another point in a miniseries that hasn't been referenced since, there were multiple red robots.
Oh, I remember that. And it was like they were brothers or something.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. That was dumb.
Yes, it was. G.I. Robot. First appearance was in Star Spangled War Stories number 101 in 1962, created by Robert Kaniger and Ross Andrew, same people who created the Metal Men. He was built by the U.S. military. And at one point, he was a member of a World War II era suicide squad, basically a bunch of soldiers who were sent on suicide missions. Various versions of this character has shown up in the DC war stories. And again, keeps sacrificing himself to save his platoon. I'm sensing a pattern here.
So why wouldn't they just make a platoon of GI robots for the suicide mission?
It was really hard to make the one robot, apparently. Our Man, his first appearance in JLA number 12, 1997, was created by Grant Morrison and Howard Porter. This is a character from the DC 1 million event. The idea was, what would the DCU look like when Action Comics number 1 million comes out? Of course, now that's going to be delayed by about 50 years because they reset it.
How many times would they actually reset it? They're going to renumber it eventually. They'll go back.
So he was built in the 853rd century, because that's when DC 1 million was supposed to come out. And he had the Golden Age Hour Man's powers in terms of speed and strength. Again, the Golden Age Hour Man and his son, who later was doing the same thing, had this pill called Miraclo, which if you took it, it gave you 1 hour of these powers. And that's why he was called Hour Man. And at one point, this robot could actually control time itself, but that quickly became a bad idea, so they dropped that. He had his own title for a while. Elron, whose first appearance was in Justice League International number 14, 1988, created by Giffen and Matthias. And this was during the Justice League Bwahaha period.
I loved Elron.
He was named, of course, for Elron Hubbard. And he was the sidekick originally of villain Manga Khan, who later switches sides and works for the JLI and later the Justice League Task Force. He was just a very sarcastic character. We have Skeets, whose first appearance was in Booster Gold number 1, 1986, created by Dan Jurgens. And he was the sidekick of Booster Gold. Also, of course, from the 25th century, Booster Gold was this washed-up football player from the 25th century who ends up getting this job at a superhero museum cleaning up or night watchman, something like that. And he decides to swipe these various gadgets, come back to the 20th century and be a hero. And that's the origin story of Booster Gold. And he also swiped this little flying robot, which kind of looks like a radio controlled airplane thing.
Right. And he really swiped him for his, you know, knowledge of the future.
So he
when
can help
him. When he went
back
in past, he would help him.
Right.
I'm not sure that I ever thought Skeets had an artificial intelligence, you know, that he was sentient.
Right.
I don't know. Some of the other ones were all sentient robots.
Right. Well, and, but again, this is 25th century tech to the point it was almost sentient, I would think. And he basically tries to talk Booster out of doing dumb things. That's at least what he used to do. He ends up becoming a villain during the 52 event. He's taken over by Mr. Mind, I believe. Tomorrow Woman. Her first appearance was in JLA 5, 1997, created by Grant Morrison and Howard Porter. He was built by Professor Ivo and T.O. Morrow, again, two mad scientist villains in the DCU, again, to infiltrate and destroy the JLA, just like Red Tornado was supposed to do.
So a lot of these robots are originally bad guys.
Right. And unfortunately, they built this character too sophisticated to the point where she had free will. She had telepathic and telekinetic powers. And at one point during the Trinity miniseries, she was part of a substitute Trinity. She was like the Wonder Woman analog.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually she becomes human, loses her powers, and just becomes a regular person. And then we never hear from her again.
Thank you, Grant Morrison.
And due to dumb timing, dumb luck timing, she ended up getting her own action figure.
Yeah.
Which is like, wow. And this is a character who was probably seen for like less than a year and has never been heard from since. But you can't talk about robots without talking about the Superman robots. This was a staple of the Silver Age Superman storyline. So Clark builds them in order to stand in for him.
I bet Clark is Superman. No, he can't be. Look, I'm Clark and there's Superman.
Right. Yes, I am Superman. Each of them had some of his powers, not all of his powers, apparently.
Well, because if they had all of his powers,
they could beat
then,
him up.
You know, yeah, if they went rogue, Superman couldn't take him out.
Right. They were used to help protect his secret identity. At one point, he had Superboy, Clark, Supergirl, and Linda Danvers robots. Linda Danvers was the secret identity of Supergirl, in the Silver Age. And they were used in just particularly silly ways. I remember this one comic, and I was trying to find a reference to it, but I know I have it. If a robot saw that the real Clark or Superman was around, for whatever reason, a small flag would jump out of his palm as some sort of warning of like, oh, I'm a robot. I shouldn't be here. I don't know. And then by the 1970s, they were actually phased out. One, because they were such a silly Silver Age concept. But the excuse used was that modern air pollution made them go haywire. That
okay.
The number of particulates in the air, you know, message coming in, sir. And so Clark had to shut them down. Although I remember a story where one of them goes rogue in the 70s and manages to build himself back together by using parts of the other robots or something.
Now, we didn't even touch any of the cyborgs either.
No.
Any of the part human, part robot.
Yeah, that could be its own episode.
Exactly.
All right, sorry, no who's on the cover this week because we are taping this in advance.
Although we could try to guess who's on it. No, that yeah. won't work.
No. Want to remind you to go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, including my Star Trek DS9 reviews. You can subscribe via iTunes, and please leave us a review.
You can email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, like us at facebook.com/sfppn, follow us on Twitter at sfppn, or call us at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.